Hi, I'm Paul Johnson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Life Support.
I lost my mother when I was 17 to suicide. She was bipolar. She was mentally ill for all of my life. But she was a wonderful role model and left me the biggest legacy ever, which is a legacy of love and the legacy of faith in Jesus Christ. So I've been through her death. I've been through my son also, who also took his life suddenly. He was a brilliant student at Columbia University. Everything in the world was going his way, and his girlfriend broke up. And 45 minutes later, he was gone. He was also a jazz pianist. He was very impulsive. That shattered my world. I didn't think I'd ever come back from that. And then my husband just passed away 3 years ago. So I've been through all of those situations.
Kim Harms has been a previous guest on Life Support and now returns to tell more of her remarkable story of grief, loss, and overcoming, and also to talk about the new book she's authored on how to leave a godly legacy. Welcome to Life Support.
Everything you do from then on is different.
One of the detectives, I think his name was
Derek. He was a golden boy.
All we can do right now is come together.
Extreme domestic violence, multiple rapes.
It's so good to have you on Life Support. And what we do on this program is we tell stories. Stories of those who have gone through hard times or are even suffering right now. But the idea is to highlight the redemption that's available through Jesus Christ. And so we hope today will be an encouragement to you and will give you hope in Jesus. I have a very special guest with us today, Dr. Kimberly Harms, who she describes herself as, "Hey, I've been around the block." And so we're going to find out what that means. She's also the author of a brand new book, Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For. And we're going to talk about this book as well. And so it's so good to have you. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Paul.
So the around the block comment, and we're going to ignore the old granny part of the introduction as well
I'm proud of that.
Tell me about this book. Why the title, Are You Ready? Where did that come from?
Well, I became a widow 3 years ago, and after I lost my husband, Jim, of 44 years, my mortality really started to become part of my identity. I'm 67 years old, and I'm a grandmother, and I realized that most of us have a difficult time facing our mortality. We like to think that we can just extend our lives this way or that way, and we kind of deny death. We're in the death denial stage. And as a widowed grandmother, I started looking at that and saying, what can I do to prepare? And most importantly, in my mind, what can I do to prepare to glorify God, which, of course, is our purpose in life? So I was working with some friends at church, realized that there's a huge need for people to look at all the things they need to do. And so I wrote a book in three parts. The first part is about building legacy, and I've had the amazing fortune to meet a lot of amazing people in my life, and I write about them. I do work in Rwanda. We have 65 memorial libraries to my son in Rwanda, so I talk about the Rwandans and what they can teach us about God and faith. The second part of the book is about death and dying. I became a death doula because I realized that this is an important issue to address. What do we believe about death and dying? What do we, you know, why are we afraid of death, especially as Christians? This is not particularly a Christian book. I talk about my faith all the way through, but it's for everybody. So I talk about other beliefs and death and dying and what happens to us. And then the last part of the book is a detailed description of all the steps we need to take to make sure that our children are not only financially secure as much as we can, that doesn't work for everyone, but most importantly, emotionally secure after we die. So that we take the steps to let them know how much we love them, to reconcile, to apologize, and to leave a legacy to them about what their history is.
Why do you think we are so adverse to dealing with death?
You know, that's a really good question. As a Christian, and I've been a Christian all my life, we shouldn't be, because really, I think of my husband, and I also lost my son, Eric, to suicide years ago, and I lost my mother to suicide years ago. They're on a great adventure. Mm-hmm. I'm the one still here. So we really shouldn't be afraid of it. But we are, and I think it's fear is the work of the devil. I think in many cases, you know, he doesn't like us to be happy and be joyful. He likes us to be fearful, and I think certainly that the enemy is part of it. But I just think that we need to face our death as part of life and prepare for it. And by not facing it, we don't prepare for it. So many of my friends have had family parents that have died. And they've left, for instance, a big farmhouse full of stuff, you know, and they've left all of their stuff in disarray that they really wouldn't have done if they'd really thought, okay, my next step is to die and I need to prepare for that. Just like graduating from college, you know, I've got to take these steps to prepare and I'm going to die. I want my children to suffer as little as possible. I want them to be emotionally prepared. But we don't do it because of fear. Fear holds us back. Fear of getting rid of stuff. Fear of death itself. So we need to overcome that fear. And, of course, we do it through God.
Yeah. And, of course, the Bible also talks about death as our enemy. And so, you know, death was never intended to be part of our world. And that came about as Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. So because it's an enemy, it's only natural for us to fight against it. It'd be weird if we, you know, sat around wanting to die. But you've been through a lot, and you alluded to it briefly, but have those experiences helped you prepare for your own death and writing this book?
Yes. I lost my mother when I was 17 to suicide. She was bipolar. She was mentally ill for all of my life. But she was a wonderful role model and left me the biggest legacy ever, which is a legacy of love and the legacy of faith in Jesus Christ. So I've been through her death. I've been through my son also, who also took his life suddenly. He was a brilliant student at Columbia University. Everything in the world was going his way, and his girlfriend broke up. And 45 minutes later, he was gone. He was also a jazz pianist. He was very impulsive. That shattered my world. I didn't think I'd ever come back from that. And then my husband just passed away 3 years ago. So I've been through all of those situations. I've faced three deaths. And God has given me, especially with my husband's death, some signs that he's in control. In fact, my husband, I say he died twice. He died the first time on my son's 33rd birthday, and what would have been his 33rd birthday. And he came back to life after 20 minutes. He stopped breathing. So I say came back to life. I'm not sure what the medical people would say, but to me, he came back to life after 20 minutes of not breathing. And we had a special day with him, which turned out to be my son's 33rd birthday. And then he passed away the next day in a way that showed me that, okay, his time was up. There's nothing I could do. He was in hospice. I was taking care of him. God really gave me that wonderful gift of knowing that, okay, this was Jim's time, which I didn't do it the first time. I didn't have that the first time he died, but God gave me this wonderful day to teach me that Kim, he's done with his race. This is the plan. Now you're not done yet. So keep moving.
It's so important to have a Christian worldview or a biblical worldview when you're facing that kind of adversity. I'm like you. I went through a hospice experience with my wife. We lost our son to a violent death. And God prepares you for these things when you invest in your faith, because you tend then, though the pain is still severe and horrible and awful and never goes away, you learn to cope with it, I think. But the worldview that you establish is, hey, you know, at the end of the day, God is in control. At the end of the day, this was, you know, if we believe what Psalm 139 tells us, God has already numbered our days. And so how did that help you cope with these various events that have happened in your life?
Well, one of the most important things I think to remember is to take a look at what is in front of you. So I lost my mother, I lost my son, I lost my husband. And we tend to, as humans, focus on what we've lost. Mm-hmm. And when we do that and we take our energy and focus on that, the fear you know, of our future, and the despair, the pit. Yeah, you know, I call it, we fall down into that pit, despair. And I think anyone may suffer from depression too. I'm treated well, so that's good. Yeah. But you know, that pit of despair where you get down in there. That's, you know, Satan would love me to stay down there. And frankly, I don't, as a pastor, please tell me if this is correct or not, but I'm just so mad at Satan for all the messes he's made. And so for me, when I wake up in the morning and I have that, because waking up alone is hard, and I have that sinking feeling in the stomach, I feel like I'm falling back down to that pit, I just think, you know what, Satan, you are not going to get me today. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, fighting him off by using the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, really helps me get through the day and helps me, by turning to God, I get the full picture, that this is just a little bit a part of the big picture, that I can't see the full picture yet. But I trust that God has a full picture, and I look at who I have in front of me. I have 6 grandchildren, 2 daughters. I spend my time and my effort and as much joy as I can working with them without that shroud of grief that will linger over you if you let it. I fight that shroud of grief, and I try to turn to the joy part.
And, of course, that comes and goes sometimes without us even seeing it come. The book is called Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For. Kim Harms is our guest, and what do you see as the least, or let's just put it this way, the most neglected part of preparing for death? What would you say that is?
I think the most neglected and the most important is preparing our children emotionally for the fact that we're going to die. And I have been, with Jim's death, I have 6 grandchildren. They all loved him so much. And we keep him alive in our talk. We talk about all the time certain songs or pop-up songs, and we have discussions about him. Sometimes he'll cry remembering him.
Sure.
And so I tell them, you know, this is part of life, that I'm also going to die at some point, but I want to make sure that they know that I want them to be happy and to have a wonderful time and to be joyful and to know that this is part of God's plan. And I'm so glad that I had them as my grandchildren. And I know that I was successful at that, at least with one of them, because I was sitting at the table the other day and little Heidi, my 7-year-old grandchild, was talking to me and she said, Nana. And I said, what, Heidi? And she seemed really concerned. She goes, well, if what happened to Pop-Pop happens to you, and I say, do you mean if I died? She said, yeah, if you died. Well, if you died, Nana, could we still go to Disney World? We had planned a trip to Disney World. And I said, yes, absolutely.
Pastor Paul will be back with Kim Harms in just a moment. Kim has detailed a lot of her story of grief and family loss. Hers and other stories are part of a site called lifesupportresources.org. One-to-one care videos and small group story-based curriculums about many topics surrounding trauma and grief and loss. That's lifesupportresources.org. And now back to Pastor Paul.
If you die, Nana, could we still go to Disney World? We had planned a trip to Disney World. And I said, yes, absolutely. I want you to have a wonderful life when I'm gone. I'm here to help as much as I can until God calls me home. And I want you to live and I want you to enjoy yourself. And the way you remember me is to be joyful. And so I know it can work, but I think we need to prepare them. We need to have those tough discussions.
Yeah. I find that when I begin to address this topic, I'm sometimes shut down by, you're still young, you know, you don't need to talk like this, and they kind of brush it off. How do you get the conversation started, and how do you keep that dialogue going?
I think one of the best things you can do is understand that talking about what's going to happen to you, because not only the emotional part, but there's a lot of physical things you got to take care of, like where are all your passwords, you know, where's the retirement plan, where's the will, how much are you going to divide up, what do you want, what are your wishes? So I think that asking them, for instance, on Mother or Father's Day, when it's kind of your day, saying what I'd like for Mother or Father's Day is I want to sit down and have a discussion about what's going to happen after I die. Kind of hard for them to turn that one down, right? And phrase it in a way that I just want to make sure things go smoothly, and then we won't need to talk about it again. One other thing that I recommend in the book, and I even give templates because I know some people don't like to write. write letters to your family members that they will open after you die. I've mm-hmm. written letters to every one of my family members that basically says, you know, I'm so grateful that you were my grandchild. I love you for this, you know, for this and this and this, with some specifics. And my hope for you is to live a happy life in God's arms. And it could be personalized to each person so that they know after you've gone, even if they weren't going to talk about God before you died,
yeah,
when you're gone, here you have it. And also a letter of intent would be really important, along with your will, to express how you want things divided up so that it's written down. Because one of the worst legacies you can leave is the contention that can occur when you've died,
yes,
and people are not sure who goes where, what item goes where, and who gets grandma's pie plate.
Right.
I mean, all these things can occur, and if you can get that worked out before you die, it's so much better.
And it's easy to do that these days. You can go right online, and
yes,
you can get that done. So
yes,
it's not like you have to, you know, take hours and hours and hours and hours and hours with a lawyer or something.
Right.
And
right,
so why not do it?
Right.
Because otherwise the state of Minnesota will decide what's going to happen to your stuff. And I don't think any of us want that. Probably tax everybody to
mm-hmm.
death. At any rate, back to the real important things. We'll get on my political rant about taxes. It's interesting that you talk about the practical part of this, because I think we so often prepare spiritually, which is obviously massively important, and we all want to know that we're right with God, and we know we're saved, but we also want to make sure our relationship with God is current. But these practical things are almost more painful to get into, because what you're really saying is, I am going to die.
Yeah.
And we spend our whole lives pretending we're not going to.
Exactly.
And so I think this is a really good boost for us to get going. Do you find that kids respond positively? Now, I know your one granddaughter did for sure,
yes,
because she's going to go on some rides down at Disney World. But generally speaking, do kids want to talk about this, or are they kind of reticent to go into this topic?
Well, it depends. Each person is different. That's what I found. I've kind of found, just, you know, this is not a scientific study by any means, but when I'm talking with people, women are a little more open, in my experience, than men are to talk about death and dying. I have one daughter who I could talk to. Both of my daughters are attorneys. So they got our will before we even signed it. Jim and we wrote our will when Jim was alive. And before we signed it, we had both girls look over and say, now you better, if you don't like something, talk about it now or forever,
yeah,
hold your peace. So that
right,
was done. We sat down and I took all of any valuables I had, some jewelry, and I sat down with the two daughters and I put it all out. And one would pick one, then the other would pick one, and I'd write it down so that that's all taken care of. But one of my daughters does not like to talk about it, and the other one does. So I think I'm just very careful with the one that does it. And then I also think that for the people that don't like to talk about it, putting it in writing to either be sent before you die or after you die, but having it in writing so they can read your will and read your words is so critical, because they need to know what happened to you. And not only that, but the other part is preparing how you want to die.
Yeah.
And Jim, I'm so grateful to him, made his wishes known with a healthcare directive. And he was in hospice. He wanted to get out of the hospital and be in hospice. Now, he died of congestive heart failure, and he probably could have lived maybe a week or two longer if he'd been in the hospital and was intubated and
sure,
kept alive.
Sure.
But he didn't want that. He wanted to die at home. He made it clear in writing. We worked with the hospice nurses, too, so that I knew that he died exactly the way he wanted to die. Because emotionally, how people die, too, can get really caught up in your grief process. The first time he went, I was feeling guilty by taking off his oxygen to put his shirt on, and that's when he kind of died the first time. And I thought, oh no, I killed him. You know,
right.
And then God said, okay, Kim, I'll bring him back. Okay.
Yeah.
And then when he finally did die, there was a nurse and two rescuers that were there at the same time. So I was not involved in it. But it's amazing how your grief process can be affected by guilt. Now, was that a true guilt? No, it was a false guilt. Satan loves that stuff.
Yeah.
But it affected me, and it would have affected me even now probably had that occurred, had he just died that first time.
How do you deal with guilt and regret when it comes to those that you've lost?
Well, when you have a suicide, you have a lot of guilt.
I can only imagine.
A lot of regret. It's very, very hard, and it complicates the grief process so much. And in fact, when my son died, he died in very similar fashion to my mother, and it brought all the grief from my mother back.
Sure.
You know, so I was grieving both of them, and I was deep in the mud of the grief pit during that time and for a long time. I think finally you have to work through the grief. I wish I could say you could turn it off in a minute, but you really can't. There are no magic words. But you have to work through the grief and come to the realization in my mind that the grief I was feeling was false grief, and Satan would want me to stay there. And everything I learned about the Lord would tell me that I needed to look to what I have right now and look to the future. I had a very important situation that occurred, an encounter with a cousin of Jim's who had lost his brother at 19 as well. And his parents never recovered. They stayed in that grief pit their entire lives. And he felt that he lost his parents at the same time as he lost his brother. And he looked at me with his finger wagging and said, "Don't you ever let your other children feel that they are not enough." That was a challenge.
That's a big challenge.
It's a big challenge. But I kept that in mind. Jim had just had a liver transplant right before Eric died. And so he was still suffering. So I realized I had to do whatever I could to get out of that pit, to get rid of the grief, to get rid of to look to God, to help my children and my grandchildren, because our grief affects everybody around us. It's not just our grief; it's everyone around us that feels that. So I fought. I think it's a battle; it's a spiritual battle, and I fought like the Dickens, and it took a long time. But I really do feel that, and I always will grieve for my son and my husband and my, but I that grief does not affect me. That shroud is not over me anymore. And I can live my life looking at what's ahead of me and enjoying that and having true
That's
joy
good.
With my grandchildren.
I think I would describe it too as, you know, at the beginning, the grief sort of drives your emotions and behavior. Mm-hmm. This of course is all God's way of helping us cope. So it's not bad to have grief. And I would just recommend to people that might be struggling with grief, go get help. You know, go to a counselor, somebody you can talk to. Sometimes good counselors just sit there and nod a lot, but you're talking to someone because it does take work. Mm-hmm. And then you have to kind of allow grief to at times come back because it does. But I think what you're talking about, if I'm not mistaken, is allowing grief to own you.
Yes.
Right? And there's a difference between feeling it, experiencing it, and then letting it be your driving force.
Yes.
Because then you push people away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you cause them to grieve.
Again to grieve. And the problem, too, is that, you know, grief is isolating enough as it is because to me, there's nothing more you and God alone than grief. I mean, it is truly a pathway where the only person who truly understands is God. People can say they understand. They don't. Even if they've been through the same thing, they still don't understand. So, you know, I think what you're saying is really, really good. And I personally have not thought practically enough about the future. And, you know, I'm on death's door. I am so old now that, you know, my kids look at me and they just shake their heads like, how is he still up and about? We're going to talk about the book. The book is called Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For, Dr. Kimberly Harms. How do we go about and get the book?
The book is available at BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. You need to do the whole title, Are You Ready? How to Build a Legacy to Die For. It'll pop right up.
Okay. Congratulations on writing the book, and I really appreciate your honesty and being willing to share your story. I know parts of it are very difficult to talk about, and I very much admire how you've taken your life and you're forward-looking and you're helping your kids, and congratulations on that because that doesn't come naturally.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You know, if you're at home right now and you're saying to yourself, wow, like, I really admire that, but I don't think that I have it in me to be like that. You know, the truth is you do have power within you. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have Christ living within you. And the Bible has promised that that power is available to you when you need it. In fact, the Holy Spirit is active in your life right now. And even when you can't pray, if you're hurting so much that you can't pray, I remember when my son was killed, I couldn't pray for a long time, but I knew God was there. And I thought about God and I meditated on God, but I couldn't really spit words out. But I trusted the fact that the Holy Spirit was praying for me. And you have that same power, that same loving God to help you. So don't give up. Please have hope. And if you need to, go get help. There's some wonderful counselors out there. There are ways to get counseling help financially, and just don't put it off, because there's no shame in getting help, and Jesus will help you as well. All right, so we're glad to have you on Life Support. This is a great opportunity for us to share the love of Christ. And our partners are Faith Radio at myfaithradio.com. Check it out. All of our podcasts live there. You can see a video version of this podcast at fivestonemedia.com. And you can check us out here at Ridgewood Church as well at myrwc.org. And we'll catch you next time right here on Life Support. Thanks for listening to this Life Support podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Life Support, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of Life Support.